Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
What's up, everybody? The strike is over. We recorded this episode before SAG created guidelines about influencers and struck work, so it's been in the vault for the past few months. Enjoy.
Ramble.
Oh, ruining my life!
I look like the Crypt Keeper!
Welcome to Guilty Pleasures! Freaky Friday, a movie so iconic, it became cultural lingo. Now I know that there were other Freaky Friday movies, but we're all talking about this
one. We're talking
about
the real one.
All right. The one that matters.
Okay. Let's start it off. Do not hurt me. This is my first time seeing this movie.
That is crazy.
This is my first time seeing this movie.
And I bet you knew it before even
seeing it. What did Sequoia have to say?
That's why I didn't. I haven't even had the gall, the heart to tell her that this is my first time.
I'm texting her. Wait, you watched it pretending like you knew?
No. I just didn't say anything. I think I... So this is the first time I have watched it. Like all the way through.
Okay. Yeah.
So I know all of the iconic scenes and all of that stuff. And I know like the parts and the plot and all of that stuff. I know the Crypt Keeper line, even though that made me laugh so fucking hard. But yeah, this is my first time like just sitting down and watching the whole movie because my sister loved this movie.
I always pop up with your sister, man.
Yeah, it always pops up.
She has the best opinion.
She has the best taste.
Yeah.
But it always pops up on like... I don't want to say TNT. It's like one of those
Disney
movies.
Plus.
Like fucking, oh, I've seen most of Transformers, but just in pieces because right. It's always on TNT. It's always on blah, blah,
or
blah.
Or in memes.
Memes. I've always caught it at the, like, towards the end of the movie.
Yeah.
What'd you think?
Say
Dude,
it.
Do you want me to say it now?
No.
It.
No. Shut your fucking mouth.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Can I say something?
Yeah.
This is my 150th time seeing this.
Wow.
Because I can sing all of the songs still. I was shocked how much of this movie I knew.
Yeah.
I was shocked how much I modeled my like style and personality after Lindsay Lohan's character, which is so funny to me because she's so smoking in this. Freaky Friday should have been nominated for acting Oscars. Period. Point blank.
Okay. All right. Now
are
that,
you kidding me?
Now that we're into it, I fully and wholeheartedly believe that Jamie Lee Curtis should have won an Oscar for this role. Like I was sitting there.
My hand was raised to smack.
Yeah.
But I clapped.
I was sitting there enamored. Wow. With how well she was pulling this shit off.
This is Jamie Lee Curtis at the height of her Activia realness. She's coming in and saying, no, I know how to be a teenage girl.
I know about like the Activia stuff. I know that she got like sort of in trouble during this period or something like that.
What'd she do?
She did not, it wasn't like problematic, but like people were just like kind of turned off by something she did.
Oh no.
Towards this Activia vibe that she was on of like having a short haircut and all of that upset stomach and just coming off of
this movie. She's a GI queen.
Yeah.
But Jamie Lee, a GI queen. She speaks her mind. She poops weird. She needs yogurt.
It is what it is.
Same bitch.
But truly like watching her in this, I was like, oh, that's why you were cocky. Because you were just like this was like a masterclass in character acting.
Yo, and
it's almost like she studied Lindsay Lohan.
Yes.
And was like just walking around with her and they're just like, boom, got it. And
Eric,
just played her for the
I gotta
like,
pull you by
on.
your little ear because you're forgetting that Lindsay acted the fucking shit out of this as well. She played grown up, stuck up. I truly for most of the movie, was like, they are in each other's bodies.
Yeah.
I see Jamie Lee acting.
I disagree. But
bye.
I disagree. Goodbye. I don't think Lindsay Lohan was good in this.
No. What?
I thought that she was fine. Like, I thought that she was very, like, maybe it's because of the stuck-upness of the character
Jamie
that
Lee.
She needed to
yeah.
play.
Yeah, the mom.
And so it didn't give her a lot, but it felt like I was watching Lindsay Lohan in her most recent Christmas
Lifetime?
Movie. In the Christmas
Bye
movie.
Bye forever.
Yeah,
Bye forever.
I was like, oh,
no,
cool. She's
she has different
it.
Brain chemistry now. She ain't who she once was.
That's fair.
These two these thespians did us, did this podcast right.
This is
this
a
film.
Movie about a young man who yeah. desperately wants to fuck his crush's mom.
Stacey's mom.
And when you watch her going around, like, being yeah. her cool young girl self, when she's shredding on the guitar at
oh
the end,
God.
I'm like, Jake was right.
Yeah.
She's the baddie.
Sick. She's the
so
baddie.
Cool.
She's so sick. And she was playing the guitar. Like, she played the guitar. She was hitting the notes correctly.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, shit. Her position is right. That's
the,
nice.
We're jumping to the end, but when she finally plays the guitar solo yeah. and Lindsay Lohan is like, oh,
yeah.
it's at Jamie Lee Curtis as Lindsay Lohan as Jamie Lee Curtis in her body, and she just rocks
yes,
back and forth.
That's what I'm talking
that
about.
That was
a mother playing, shredding on guitar. That's
She's
what I'm
such
talking
a dork.
About.
I love yeah. it. I think yeah. Lindsay Lohan's a really good straight woman. Like,
yeah. Because
I think
like
she
her,
really...
her in this, her in Mean Girls is just like, you can definitely bounce off of her.
Yeah.
In that regard or in that way, because
she's a good liar.
A good liar?
Sorry. Yeah. I thought
that
I was adding
like
to what
short,
you're saying.
Short circuited me a little bit.
Like, in Mean Girls, when she's like, oh yeah, those are calcium bars. They you eat them and it's just water weight, and then yeah. you drive 5 pounds like that. Like
yeah.
she was lying. That's why she was so good.
Yeah.
She was lying all of this movie that she was a teenage girl. Like, she's just a good liar.
This yeah. is an apology, by the way, because I think when we did the Mean Girls episode, I said that that was like Lindsay Lohan's breakout. That's not true, of
yeah,
course.
Good Friday.
This yeah. was her breakout. Yeah. But then Mean Girls was her, like, I'm doing an adult movie. Mm. This was yeah. still a Disney film.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen Freaky Friday, you fucking
you
know
what
it is. Because it's a verb now. You got,
yeah,
Freaky,
you got Friday.
Freaky Friday. Lil Dicky made a song about it. But Freaky Friday stars a mom and a daughter who just don't understand each other.
Mom.
Jamie Lee, she's doing too much. She's working too hard as a therapist, I guess.
That's 7 phones.
She has planning for her wedding. She's a single mom. Everything's going. But Lindsay Lohan, the world just don't understand her. She's angsty, but she's getting in trouble. But it's not her fault. If only there were a way for them to see eye to eye.
Yeah.
Luckily, thanks to some casual movie racism, we've got the fix.
We've got fortune cookies.
Oh,
the
my God.
Fortune cookie
we've
treat.
We've got offensive gong sound effects.
Yeah.
Thanks to gong
they the switched. Gong shook the earth.
The gong heard around the world.
Oh, my God.
They switch bodies, and now, mom is daughter and daughter's mom. It's Freaky Friday.
I would also love to hear the Asian American take on this movie.
I bet you it ain't good.
Yeah,
this
I know
movie
it's
is
not
racist
good.
As fuck.
Yeah.
It is unbelievable. Okay. Let's just get into the guilt, because y'all know this movie's a pleasure.
Yeah.
It's so fun and delightful. A huge hit, breakout hit. I remember seeing this in theaters, and even as like a young boy being like, wow, that was really fun.
And this one didn't feel like a Disney Channel movie.
No.
It felt like a Disney movie.
Yep.
Yes.
You know?
Yep.
And that's was...
I feel like we've lost.
Yeah.
But this movie is so racist.
It's
crazy.
No, it's insane. It is literally using an entire culture as a prop. It's wild.
It feels almost akin to like when Mickey Rooney was in Yellowface, when you look back at like that old movie.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So like, this is 10 minutes into the movie. You hear... and there's this transition into Chinatown, which, real quick aside... Real bugaboo over here. They're driving on the PCH. They're driving at the Third Street Promenade.
Wait.
And then they go out to fucking Chinatown.
I did the fucking math on this.
Oh.
In a later scene. Okay, well, this is, I'm kind of breaking this, but this movie was filmed at my high school.
Wow.
And so, like, it just felt like a nice little nostalgia thing.
That is cool.
But there is a scene where they go to the high school. I know that from my home to the high school was about like 50 minutes on the school bus.
Wow.
And so,
holy shit.
Yeah, it was bad.
Ooh.
Yeah. And so her, she did her first period. I think it was at like 7:50 or whatever. Mm-hmm. 7:50 is when we started school. She did her first period. So she probably got out of class at like, let's say 8:20 or something. No, what am I talking about? 9:20 or whatever. And then her mom picked her up, or her daughter in her body.
I'm so lost.
Picked her up. You're just lost.
Keep going. Yeah.
Picked her up.
This is some deep LA lore.
Yeah. And drove to Chinatown in the later scene. And it was not in the scene, but in a later scene. And they drove to Chinatown to try to redo, turn it back or whatever. And that took them until lunchtime. So
no, absolutely not.
Yeah, it was. She was like, "Are you ready for lunch?"
That's crazy.
That's what happened.
No, I know, but that's math ain't mathin.
How's the math not mathin?
She went all the way to Chinatown midday on a weekday and back.
There ain't back.
It was
way.
Like just straight to Chinatown. It was
there
like an hour
ain't
and a half.
No way in hell that if you are driving down the PCH, you live on the west side, that your go-to Chinese places in Chinatown where they know you by name?
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
Uh-uh.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's what you're getting at. I'm so sorry. Yeah. I did too much.
Ever.
I will make this entire podcast dedicated to the inaccuracies of LA geography in film.
To be fair, the urban planning of Los Angeles is absolutely just dog shit. And based in racism,
what
but
did you
truly dog shit.
Are you okay?
Did I just have a moment?
To be fair,
I shrunk the geography.
My bad.
All right, so the racism in this movie, you hit a gong. We're now going into
Chinatown,
and at this restaurant that is the most like red and gold, over the top. I'm not saying these restaurants don't exist.
They do exist, and I'm pretty sure the one that was the location for this still exists.
Yeah.
Okay, because I assumed it was a set that they built.
No, I think they were there. Because all of the Pally stuff was on location.
The rest of it was, so why not?
Yeah.
But the caricatures of the Chinese waitresses is so over the top.
It's a bad trope, and then it's also like really weird and problematic when it's just like the daughter of the Chinese woman that puts the curse on them. She is not just like Chinese American and speaking in an American accent.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, why isn't this woman American?
Well, and her accent's played for jokes the whole time. I don't even want to do it. Okay.
Yeah, so, that was wild.
You guys were talking about Jamie Lee and how fucking good she is.
I think I will truly only talk about that.
Yeah.
That is the biggest pleasure.
Better than Everything Everywhere All at Once, easily.
Oh, yes. Like, this is Leonardo DiCaprio winning for The Revenant. Or not Leonardo DiCaprio. Yeah, Leonardo DiCaprio winning for The Revenant. And this is Scorsese winning for
The Departed,
and
so you think the Academy was like, we fucked up with Freaky Friday.
Yeah, we fucked up with Freaky Friday.
Correct.
We're so sorry that we didn't give you this Oscar years ago.
Yes,
here you go.
The fact that this wasn't even nominated is a joke.
Yeah, because this is going back to the whole animation. Argument where it's like they, as soon as you deem it as for kids, they don't give a shit anymore.
Doesn't matter.
It's so wild.
Okay,
but
what
the
if
mother-daughter relationship is so
it's real
complex, and like what they did here was so much deeper than I think we even give it credit for as a Disney movie.
The movie opens with Renaissance art, and it's showing depictions of mothers and daughters throughout time. And I would argue it's because this film is high art.
Yeah. Yeah.
This movie from the first frame says, we are a painting and you will appreciate me as such.
Yes.
Doug,
watch
it's
paint.
Punching above its class every time it shows a scene or something like that.
Did either of you know that this was based on a book?
No,
I
saw the
vaguely
book.
Aware that
I
they had done
had
versions.
No fucking clue. Yeah. And it makes me want to
I
read
saw
it
based on a book and I was like, oh, wow.
I think
that's
it's
cool.
Like based on like a picture. It's like not like a.
What?
It's not. I don't think it's a book that you will find to be a satisfying read. They
I'm
made
gonna,
the, this
I'm
is the third, second or third time they made that movie.
Got you.
They made one way back when.
Oh shit, my favorite part is she has, so Lindsay Lohan and the son are like contentious to each other. Yeah. And there's one point early on where the son, she goes like, "What do you want?"
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, Jamie Lee Curtis like stunts
him out.
Yeah, at the son, and watching Jamie Lee Curtis do that to a little boy is so fucking good.
Funny. It's so funny.
I like that she was not afraid to be so silly. You know what I mean? Like that
is JLC.
Yeah. It's like so many actresses would be so afraid to do that because it could look corny or like goofy. But I think because they both went all the way in on each other, it worked so well.
I don't think, not even it was just like from different interviews I've listened to, but in acting, you cannot shy away from the humiliation. There was a interview with Joaquin Phoenix, and he was talking about how in The Joker, he was like, "Let's just get all of the humiliating scenes done with. Just get, like, not done with, but like first.
Yeah.
So that I can just make a fool out of myself immediately, and then I won't be afraid of these scenes later on."
Yeah.
And he's like, that's how he's approached most of the movies that he's been in.
It makes so much sense.
But it makes sense. It's just like you kind of just have to throw yourself in it and just be, because if you shy away from it a little bit, you're not believable.
Right.
And as soon as you get in your own way or get into your own head about it, you're just not gonna, you're not gonna bring what you need to bring. You're not gonna give what you need to give.
Okay, I can't sit on this any longer.
What do you got? What do you have?
This is a fun fact, but it's a fun fact that needs to be that needs to come out right now. Jamie Lee Curtis was not the original actress for this movie.
Out of here. The fuck.
Who was it?
Here.
Jim Carrey? That's the only person who could have done this better. Anyway, I'm sorry.
I don't even want to know who it was because it'll anger me. And it'll offend me.
It doesn't matter who it is because what I'm about to tell you next is even better, more important.
Yeah. I don't think I'm ready.
So it was going to be Annette Bening.
Okay, she's fine.
Sure.
She's great.
She had to drop out. I don't even remember why. Maybe it's in my little document. Jamie Lee Curtis had like a week to prepare for this movie.
Oh my God.
She's got the script, said sure, dove right the fuck in, and gave the best performance of her little life.
This is the shit, but this shit is fucking depressing, bro. Like, imagine you are trying to become one of these greats, right? You're trying to be like, oh man, I bet she had like several months to prepare, or I bet she just, you know, she had it in her. This is just who she is on and off screen or whatever. She had a week to study Lindsay Lohan's mannerisms, and then she just killed this to an Oscar-level pedigree?
If I do remember, and I might be making this up, didn't they become very, very close to the point where, like, they are still very, very close today?
I believe that's correct.
I mean, that's great.
Because she studied her, like, when we say they each studied each other, like, they would be like, how would you do this? And then they...
But that, I mean, that's the way you would want to do it also, because you don't want it to be like, oh, how would an adult do this?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Perfect example. I'm sorry. So in the new Shazam movies, Shazam is a DC superhero where every time he says Shazam, he's a little boy. He turns into a grown man. So this is where it can go wrong.
So wrong.
Because Zachary Levi will play a child the way that he believes a child would act as an adult man with an adult body. But he is not acting like his co-star who plays him as a child.
Who's an a better actor than him.
Big yay.
And so it's so shifty or so off. It's just like, study the kid. That's not even how he's
You're watching two totally different characters.
Totally different characters. And it's just like, this doesn't make sense. It doesn't match. It doesn't meld well. And so seeing this, I'm like, yeah, that's how you should approach
it. And now you're reminding me, Zach, of like when you said what are our favorite JLC moments, and it goes to what you're saying, Rick, is that it was watching Jamie Lee Curtis playing Lindsay Lohan inside of her actor's body, doing things for the first time, which means doubly Jamie Lee Curtis has to let go of that. She as a human being has done something for the first time, and that her character is a teenage girl. So like when she got to drive for the first time, when she got to use a credit card for the first time, when she got to go on a shopping spree, when she was trying to like dodge kisses. These are all things that she has done before in her adult life. But I truly believed, and that's what I say when I say when I was watching this, I felt like I was genuinely watching them having have body swapped.
Yeah.
Jamie Lee Curtis, she is portrayed as the busiest woman of all time.
Busiest therapist.
And she's a therapist.
She's a therapist.
The way that she has seven phones ringing in the beginning of the movie, I'm like, oh, she's like some corporate hotshot.
Yeah, I thought she
the
was
merger's
like a CEO.
Happening.
Yeah.
She's a fucking therapist.
Yeah.
Why does she have seven devices?
I guess that was just of the times. Maybe
a beeper, a BlackBerry, a cell phone.
There's no way that in an original draft they had her like in corporate and they're like, well, it'd be really funny to see Lindsay, I don't know, deal with patients.
Yeah. Well, they use Stanford from Sex and the City, Carrie Bradshaw's best friend, RIP, as a patient named Evan, who is someone she sees every single day. And to that I say, I think that's a bit of an ethical violation.
Gotta be.
I don't think that any actor in the movie is having more fun than him. He is putting his whole actussy into the least grounded portrayal of mental health problems in cinema history.
Yeah.
This guy is so children's movie heightened.
He is so unwell.
I love when she's like, I'm not going to be here tomorrow. He's like, oh, so you were lying. You're a liar.
He was very
the
fun.
Ability like to have a role that lets you go that balls to the wall goofy is such a dream.
Yeah.
In a way that I can't even fathom being that silly.
Oh, you should watch any of him in Sex and the City. That is like kind of his.
That's his vibe.
He's a goofy, fun, have outrageous gay man, fashionista, like drama. Like he's very silly, goofy. I mean, as problematic as that TV show is, we watch it for the scenarios that it taught us and leave the ones that didn't serve us.
Sex and the City is problematic because it doesn't have black people in it.
Yes, and then their remake of it is not great.
Okay.
Either.
I didn't watch it.
Yeah.
This soundtrack.
Great.
Slaps.
Great soundtrack.
Thank God they let her sing. She got such a good voice.
Lindsay.
Yeah.
She sings Obsessed in the beginning. I don't think she doesn't sing the song at the end because it's the other girl in the band. I think that this has Josie and the Pussycats level fake songs. The song they sing at the end at the Wango Tango talent show is one of the best movie songs ever, and it is not on Spotify.
No.
Yes.
Okay, so I don't know.
Is any of Lindsay? Let me check.
Obsessed is. Okay.
I don't know if House of Blues. If there are multiple Houses of Blues, maybe there's one. But
there's multiple,
no, it's right next to Sunset Towers. It's
okay,
correct.
So if it's
half
that,
a block.
If it's that one, okay,
it's that close.
Okay,
yeah,
it's that
I
close.
Did
right,
look
right,
that
all
up.
All right, cool.
Wow,
but that one's
wanna
knocked down.
Go up.
That one got knocked
I wanna
down.
Be go. Hey,
oh, Ultimate is her number two away. Played song on Spotify.
What did I call it? It's Ultimate, right?
Yeah. It, with 20 million streams.
Hey, but Take Me Away.
Yeah, where's
that?
That
needs to be on fucking spot. Am I alone here in thinking that's like one of the best songs?
That's what
in a
Sequoia
movie?
Said. She was like, this is Sequoia why isn't me. This song on fucking Spotify? I'm very upset that it wasn't.
It is, and this, I'm saying this as a Josie stan. I think it's as good as any song in Josie and the Pussycats. I think it's better than the song from That Thing You Do.
Mm.
Take Me Away is the single best movie song ever made.
Wow. Mm.
Lindsay Lohan said, there's one talent show, rent is due, and I'm going to shred this guitar solo. It is so good.
It's very good. It's a very good song.
It was what Avril Lavigne wished she was.
Oh.
God damn.
I know.
You're going to go after the clone?
I'm going to go after the clone.
That's fucked up.
Oh, I'm just saying.
She just got here. She's like 4 years old.
She's fine. She'll be all right.
Anyway.
Take me away. And then the fucking guitar solo comes in and she shreds. And then Lindsay Lohan's just rocking back and forth.
Yeah.
And Jamie Lee Curtis is off stage just rocking it.
Fucking ripping.
I do think that the first note played on that guitar solo is the equivalent of coolness of like moonwalking onto a stage.
Wow.
And then doing an entire dance. Like it would, like I don't know how else to explain it. I think that's just the best.
I get you. It's, the song is going, you're like, damn, this is good. And then it just like explodes. Yeah, your atoms fucking rearrange in your body.
It's very cool.
Yeah, I did not realize I still knew every single word to all the songs that played. It just went off in my brain and I started singing. I was like, what's happening to me? What's going on with my body? It's just a feel-good, funkified time.
Yeah. It was like, and then going back to the beginning, just the general plot of the movie, neither of them were that bad. Like, they weren't that, like, misconstrued. I feel like they were expanding on or, like, exaggerating their differences because of teenage angst and a mother not really caring.
Jamie Lee Curtis is a single mom, working woman who runs her own private practice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's her wedding in a few days.
God,
that she's like planning all by herself.
That's a lot.
And they rented out the Sunset Tower Hotel for their rehearsal dinner.
Yeah.
My God.
Yeah, I mean, they're rich.
They got money.
I don't know if the groom is rich. I'm pretty sure he is. Oh, he's a doctor. Yeah. So there you go.
He got money.
He got money.
And then Lindsay Lohan. She's misunderstood.
She's misunderstood. She writes an entire dissertation on not Hamlet, on what
was it?
Oh, 1989.
George Orwell.
Yeah, George Orwell's book. And it was great. And she got an F because her teacher got
as a vendetta
rejected by her mom.
The great Stephen Tobolowsky, who we love him. Ned Schneebly from Schneebly from Groundhog Day, love Stephen Tobolowsky, but I fucking my blood boils. I had teachers that just hated me because I have two teachers from my history.
Yeah,
when I was in third grade, I had a teacher who just hated me.
Why?
And it was this thing where other kids in the class would like tell their mom and my mom, they'd be like, yeah, no, Miss Puny like hates Zach, and it like doesn't make sense. He's not like the worst kid in the class. He's not making. And then I had a teacher in seventh grade who just always thought I was trying to be a smart aleck, and I wasn't. I was I would give genuine answers. Literally, I will never forget this. I raised my hand. And I, like, the second he called on me, I, like, my mind blanked. And I'm like, oh, my God, I just, give me 1 second. And he goes, he's like, you're going to do that in my class? Take a walk. And I'm like, what? He's like, this is no time for comedy. Take a walk. And I had to get out and, like, walk to, like, he's like, don't come back in my class until you, like, adjust your attitude.
Holy
and so I just, like,
shit.
Walked around and I'm like, I am not wrong. Okay, I'm ready to come back.
Damn.
That's wild.
Ooh, it makes my blood boil still.
I always had teachers that liked me, but I think that's because I had a sunny disposition and refused to believe anyone could possibly not like me. I was a little shithead student. I was not good. I talked too much. I got yelled at. I got detention. I got in-school suspension. Guess how many times? Guess.
Seven. Zero.
Guess.
One. Zero.
Seven.
66.
Jesus.
Wait, you just said everyone liked you.
Yes, but I would purposely try to get in-school suspension because the football coach was the in-school suspension teacher.
And he was hot.
Yeah. And, well, that's where all of our friends would go. So they'd just be like, go, Kelsey, go. And then I go, and then I'd dick around. I had a press badge because I was a journalist student, and yeah.
For the record, I get not liking me. I probably would also fight me as a child.
Mm.
Did teachers like you? I don't even think teachers remembered me in their class because I was just a quiet in the corner person. And I don't think that I was very memorable. It just is what it is, and that's fine.
You were just a good boy.
No, I was just I was like a middling student, but I was just kind of to myself.
Interesting.
Yeah.
You didn't want to start like because me and you are drama queens, honey. We're
honey.
Yeah.
But I feel like you were just a
good boy.
Just an existing student. It was, I was like, I guess Evan is his name in Superbad.
McLovin?
Not McLovin.
Oh, Michael Cera.
Michael Cera's character, where it's just like, I believe one of the lines in there is just like, who even are we? We're not like losers, but we're not
even
cool.
Go here.
Yeah, just like, you're just kind of there.
I need to start some shit.
Oh!
Because I'm going to blow some people's minds here.
Imagine that.
Okay, Chad Michael Murray.
Oh, yeah. We got to talk about it.
Hot.
Yeah.
Hot.
Hot man.
I'm not. That's not what's going to blow your mind.
Not with that flavor saver and haircut.
The what?
Not with that flavor saver.
Wow, you don't like Uva Stank? That's crazy.
I also wrote in my notes, why is he talking like that? Because when he first comes into the movie, he's kind of doing like a Ryan Gosling drawl.
Uh-huh.
He's a kid and he's like, hey, what's going on? How you doing?
Also, how did he afford a Ducati? You can't afford a Ducati and have several school jobs. You're either poor or your dad gave you a Ducati.
He inherited it. Here's the thing. He's playing the exact same character as Cinderella Story, which we stand. We cry and moan for that version of Chad Michael Murray. You give me 6 more inches of hair and a fucking little triangle patch under your chin, the fuck out of here. He was
not doing it for you.
Not only not doing it for me, but you are a stalker in this film.
Oh yeah.
You are harassing an old woman.
That was very funny. Every time he popped up, oh yes. Another fucking part that made me like I had to pause the movie. I was laughing so hard. I think I laughed so hard that I got a little sick. But watching Lindsay Lohan sprint at the camera and fucking like DDT this guy. Yeah.
Can I delight you to no end and tell you that Chad Michael Murray singing Hit Me Baby One More Time is on Spotify.
No.
You want it to be. Tell me, baby, cause I need to know now because my lonely.
How is that on Spotify?
And I
his dedication is sounding bad.
Still believe. If I'm not with you, I lose my mind.
Wait for it.
Give me a sign. Hit me, babe.
That's so good.
The shot, I know exactly the shot you're talking about. Yeah, yeah. She lowers her shoulders.
She lowers her shoulders.
She's like a Terminator.
Yeah, it's so good.
Oh my God.
It's so good.
Can you imagine a movie where Lindsay Lohan is a Terminator?
Oh, I love it. I would love it. She doesn't have to say anything.
No. Lindsay Lohan as a fucking killing machine.
Yeah. I'm waiting for it. I'm ready.
I got full body chills.
You're holding your
I'm holding my boobs. Yeah. I literally just grasped my teeth in excitement.
That's 100% a ChatGPT prompt.
Let's do it.
Lindsay Lohan as a Terminator.
Oh my God.
Can I green light this right now?
Yeah, you're the boss.
Oh my God. Lindsay, call me.
Yeah. She doesn't want to do anything anymore.
No, she doesn't. I don't blame her. Okay. Chad Michael Murray, I think he's a hottie McCotty, but whatever.
Wrong.
He's hilarious in this movie.
He's so funny.
Lusting after a mom. Yeah. And at first I'm like, oh, that's like kind of funny and like borderline racy that Chad Michael Murray is trying to fuck a mom.
Yeah.
Then I was watching the movie.
You remember the age difference? Oh, sorry. What's up?
Whose age difference?
Because
he's not a student.
No, he's 19.
Chad Michael Murray is not a fucking student.
He works at the school.
He works at the school.
So he and Lindsay's relationship would be naughty.
He's an adult riding a motorcycle working at the school in a coffee shop.
Florida, you'd go to jail. Yeah.
She is 15. Yeah. And he is 18, 19. I tried to look it up. It's not really confirmed. But that is an adult man.
Yeah.
Yes, an adult college dropout man.
Yeah. Working out of school with children.
He is a school employee. At first, I was like, oh, fun. He has like an after-school job. And she goes, why are you in detention? He goes, I don't. I work here.
Yeah.
This man is going straight to jail.
I thought.
He's making out with her at the mom's wedding.
Yeah.
This is a Disney film in which a young man wants to fuck a MILF. But he actually is an adult man who hooks up with a 15-year-old.
Yeah. Because there's that scene in the coffee shop where they're talking to each other. And then everybody, it was very funny. Everybody else at the coffee shop looked over and just like, what the fuck is happening? That's a child talking to an adult woman.
With goo goo eyes. Chad Michael Murray does such a good job of like lustfully being into Jamie Lee Curtis in a way that he never gets to be goofy because he was the hot guy.
Yeah.
And I think he's so funny.
I'm sure he had a great time with that.
Oh, this is probably the best time, the most fun he's ever had in a role.
You have to remember, though, too, his character is also going after a woman who's supposed to be getting married in less than 24 hours. Shows up to her rehearsal dinner after showing up outside of her home.
He doesn't even wear something nice. Mm-mm. Right there on the motorcycle. Mm-hmm. Yeah, not even. I so resented the scene when they're in the coffee shop and they're trading bands back and forth. Mm-hmm. And they're like, Hives, love them. White Stripes, hate them. Ever the heard Ramones? Of a bass player? Fuck off.
Yeah.
Fuck right off. You don't like the Whites. I'll come over there and I'll slap you, Chad.
It is so funny that we're talking about Chad and his hotness, but not even the hottest person in this movie. Mark Harmon, man.
Very fucking dad.
I in that moment, I was like, oh, dog, I get the daddy-isms of the world of the girls, like being like, man, I just want a father figure in
you
my
want
life.
That.
Yeah.
And he's a doctor.
Yeah, he's a doctor.
I hope he's a gynecologist. Of,
Mark Harmon of NCIS fame.
Sorry. Kelsey, what was that?
Yeah, what did
hope
you say?
He's a gynecologist.
You hope he's a gynecologist.
Wow. Fully missed that line.
He's a doctor.
Okay.
Hope he's also a gynecologist, you said.
Doctor, you have to help me. I'm too horny.
Hold on, hard this pause. That idea, is a conversation I actually did have with my
this whole idea and trope that gynecologists know how to just fuck or whatever is
That's
so wild.
So funny. Why do we think that?
Why do we think that? He knows how to medically examine a vagina.
I'm
That's
ask
it.
My gyno tomorrow.
I know you know
friend.
Your way around a vagina, but do you know your way around a vagina?
Oh my God, you've just opened my mind to so many questions.
That's so funny.
Do you think she uses medical terms or he uses medical terms to like describe, like, move farther to the left labia?
There's no way.
Yeah, that. And
according
that
to my medical degree, you should let me stick my pinky in your ass.
Yeah,
according to my prognosis.
Wow.
Yeah.
I always find it funny the way that doctors choose their specialty. Like, I have a friend who is a urology surgeon. He's a dick doctor.
Yeah,
a dick surgeon. And like, how do you of all the parts of the body go, I want to slice dicks
in
open
in your residency? Yeah.
I'd love
Haven't
slicing
you
dicks
watched
open.
Any medical drama? They Perhaps, all man. Go in thinking they want to be an orthopedic surgeon, but then they go and they try they the just, NICU I and they fall in love with the kids or the scheduling of plastic surgery or the money. Yeah.
It's the same shit like your boy, where it's just like, I just kind of got stuck in this one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know?
And it's too hard to leave.
So daddy's hot.
Daddy.
Oh, yeah.
Not only is he hot, he's a good person.
Good dude. Why would you think that I wouldn't allow your daughter?
I'm with you because you put your family
the fucking
children.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Where he's like, if she's like, are we not getting married tomorrow? Not if you're going to make me this man.
Yeah. Loved it.
When I started dating you, I knew the baggage that you came with and I love you for that.
Yeah. He said, I knew the baggage.
He said, I knew you came with a history.
I knew the history you came with, and I love you for that.
Yeah.
And you know the reason that I haven't pushed too hard on Tess is because I want her to love me on her terms.
Yes. Oh,
what a line. What a
and
line.
And I just, fuck.
Standards.
It's like,
have them.
It's him sitting back and, you know, putting his hands up the entire movie and just being like, I'm just gonna allow this to happen because, again, I am new to this family. Let me allow them to rock. I'm not going to fucking do
not
anything.
Trying to be your dad.
Not trying to be your dad.
I'm also not trying to be your friend.
I'm just trying to be a supporter.
Amen.
You know, I'm trying to be a good stepdad.
Okay, I need to admit something that is very embarrassing.
You have been blowing our minds this entire episode, so watch your fucking mouth.
This is so funny. This might blow your mind the most.
Oh God.
So I just to paint the picture of how unlikely this is, I've seen this movie many times. I don't feel like it requires that close of a viewing. I'm working out while I watch this movie, you know. I need to exercise. So that's what I'm doing. I'm enjoying myself. I think I paused it once or twice to like go make a snack, talk to Maggie. I'm watching the end of this film. It is the climax. They are at the wedding. Lindsay has just won the Wango Tango
rehearsal dinner.
They go back to the rehearsal dinner. Thank you, not the wedding. And Jamie Lee Curtis makes a speech. This is Lindsay Lohan, Tess in her mother's body, and she makes this speech that they both need to learn to be selfless for the fortune to undo. And Jamie Lee Curtis starts this speech about how Tess's father died 3 years ago, and it left this massive hole. Mm. And I start sobbing.
No!
And the reason I said I wanted you to see this, I am shirtless. tear streaming down my face.
Oh my God. Yeah.
What's wrong with me?
I need that as just a sound clip.
Yeah, I would love that as a clip.
You are crying.
I'm watching the scene and I feel
that. Why are you
crying? I feel the tears coming and I go, oh my goodness, I think I'm going to cry. Oh my goodness. I am devastatingly crying.
Oh my God.
I am like sobbing to an extent that I haven't cried this hard since Santa Toy Story 3. Yeah. This is harder
what
than.
What the fuck was that?
What?
Why did you just snip? What was that noise? Crying at the end of Toy Story 3.
Oh,
was
I didn't see it.
Are you out of your fucking mind?
I didn't see it.
Not only did I cry at the end of Toy Story 3, I one time was stuck in bumper to bumper traffic explaining the ending of Toy Story 3 to Maggie. Yeah. And I started crying. No, I started crying.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Tell me the story.
Okay, we don't have to talk about this for long. It is the most devastating animation I've ever seen in my life.
I don't cry when everyone thinks I cry.
Oh.
I don't cry when they hold hands.
Okay.
I cry when he passes his toys on.
Yeah, that's very sad.
That one was, that's like the ending. The ending of Superbad makes me cry as well.
Oh!
It's like the end of that.
Oh, shit. Yeah. It's so good.
What happens at the end of Superbad?
They leave each other and they don't see each other for probably the rest of their lives. They grow up.
They go. He goes up the escalator.
And they look up over each other and they just see each other for the last time.
I don't know what the fuck's going on in my life. I've never, I haven't lost anybody.
Yeah.
Right. It just hits you.
I have both my parents.
Well, no, that says something about you because, like, that is a huge fear. That's, you're able to be empathic enough to put yourself in that scenario that it's devastating to you.
Like, I don't know if I was crying at the idea of her losing a father or just, like, the beauty of
accepting someone new.
Yeah. But
giving
like,
your mother the permission she's needed.
None of these themes are relevant in my life.
No. Your mother-daughter relationship is solid.
Yeah. It
couldn't be further from something that's relatable to me.
Yeah.
But it broke me in the most beautiful way.
That's so cute. I did say multiple times during watching this, I forgot how fucking good this was.
Yeah.
No, it's and I'm jumping ahead here, but it was like actually fantastic.
Hell yeah.
That was a fascinating fucking movie. The only thing like that I guess is like a nitpick is just me wanting more of their differences. Coming to fruition and them having to deal with other things and blah, 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 and dealing with, you know, more bullying in school, her dealing with having to pay taxes. We didn't see the payoff of her and her little brother either.
Yeah.
I would have loved to see that.
Yeah.
But it was just them finding out stuff about each other.
Okay, one more story. So Jamie Lee Curtis... I don't know what the character's name is. Mom famously removes the door from Tess's room as a punishment.
Oof.
And Maggie stops the movie and goes, you know, my mom did that to me.
Yeah.
And I go, what? That is psychopath. Like, that is unacceptable. And so Maggie calls her mom in the middle of the movie and is like, Mom, am I remembering, when I was an angsty teen, which by the way, Maggie, sweetest cupcake of a human ever, was an angsty ass teen.
Yeah.
And
she got it all out of her system.
Yep.
Her mom goes, no, you're making that memory up. Your friend did it. And you told me about it and were afraid that I would do it. And Maggie's like, what? And then she called her sister. And everyone in her family's like, no, you are making this memory up.
Oh, wow.
But she knows someone who
No, but that's something in childhood. You learn it in psychology is about like if you look at a photo and you think something happened. Every time you see that photo, you're like, oh, yeah, that thing happened.
And
it could be like that happened to somebody completely different. But it's not false. It's like false memories, but it's not bad. I am dating a lawyer. And in that moment when she goes, privacy is a privilege, she goes, actually, it's a constitutional right.
That's what he said?
Yes. Was like, damn, that is really like, oof.
That's a useful person to have around the house.
It's I highly recommend to fuck a lawyer if you can. Noted. Put it on your list.
Yeah.
I do need to ask like a pretty upsetting question, and this is not something that we want to think about because it's a Disney film.
Yeah.
But so the little brother sees Jamie Lee Curtis after they've body switched, and Jamie Lee Curtis has a thong.
Yes.
And he goes,
Ugh.
Are we to believe that mother and daughter switched bodies and changed underwear? They put on new underwear
when they switch bodies.
I feel like if I change bodies with my dad, whatever underwear he's wearing when I woke up, that shit's staying on.
It's staying on. No, I don't. I think
when I go to the bathroom, I'm closing my eyes, I'm pulling my pants all the way down, and I'm peeing on a wall.
I think we are to believe that Jamie Lee Curtis's character secretly has like a. Wears thongs.
Yeah, oh, hold on.
She's
hold
like
on.
A yeah, little. Exactly. She's a little sexy.
Let me break this down for you. First of all, moms absolutely have thongs, especially in business gear. So Lindsay Lohan probably
no Pennywise.
She probably went, oh, I need to put something on. She's gonna naturally reach for a thong.
But that means that she was naked as her mom.
She probably fell asleep.
Are you me? I could draw you my mom's vagina. We're naked around each other all the time.
Oh my god, would you?
This is not.
I don't think that my sister's seen my mom naked.
Call her right now. Because I will put money on the fact that she has.
Uh-oh.
Mother-daughters be changing in front of each other. They go to dressing rooms with each other.
I know that Maggie will change in front of her sisters.
Yes!
Okay, I'm calling Steffi. Maybe the Kornfelds are fucked up.
Hello.
Hey.
Hello.
Have you're on Guilty Pleasures. Have you ever seen Mom naked?
Ew.
That's so fucking funny.
What?
Kelsey said she could draw her mom's vagina.
From memory.
What?
Yes, easily. You've never seen your mom naked, ever?
I mean, she pees in front of me all the time, but
okay, that's what I'm talking about.
Well, peeing, we're a door-open bathroom family.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, we don't close doors.
So your mom pees in front of you, and you don't know, have you ever seen your mom's boobs?
Yes.
Okay, this is what I'm talking about.
Wait, but it's not like all of the time.
When did you see her boobs?
I don't know. We go shopping together. Exactly. We changing room.
All right. Thank
you. So I guess the answer technically is yes.
Okay. See.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Stephanie. We appreciate it.
Thanks. Bye, Stephanie.
Bye. No, I'm glad we got to the bottom of that.
I'm going
to
ask my girl chat.
That's funny.
I'm glad that I got to think about my mom's boobs for a full minute.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. I'm asking my group chat too.
I accept that I'm wrong. It's cool. Y'all ready for some fun facts?
Let's do it.
So I was wrong. Jamie Lee Curtis didn't have a week to prepare. She had 6 days.
Wow.
Damn, motherfucking goat.
Goat. That's goat shit right there. That's fucking Halloween greatness.
She is, I would say, one of the Nepo babies. She's one of the counter-arguments to the anti-Nepo baby movement. I know that she got... Jamie Lee Curtis.
Who is she a kid of?
She is a kid of Janet Leigh and Richard Curtis. Two extremely famous actors. Tony Curtis. I'm sorry. I knew I was wrong. Tony Curtis, who is in Some Like It Hot and Spartacus. Super fucking famous. And her mom is Janet Leigh, who dies in Psycho.
I couldn't tell you what either of those.
The main character who dies
in Psycho.
She could have been like just a random one-liner extra.
No, she was a huge star. So, I mean, Jamie Lee Curtis, like, literally... She's like a thoroughbred horse.
Yeah, it's like the it's like old girl from Stranger Things right now. What's her name?
Yeah, Maya Hawke.
Maya Hawke.
That's all you can do. Like, it would be, imagine if Jamie Lee's like, I really would love to get into law. No!
Yeah.
You're here to act.
Yeah, my problem with Nepo babies is just don't act like you didn't get it handed to you.
Yeah, agreed.
I'm sure you are very, of course you're talented.
Yep.
But don't, come on.
Your starting line is different.
It's different for a lot of people.
Yeah, and she said that really stupid thing where she was like, Nepo babies, stand up. We're people too.
Yeah,
she said that?
Yeah.
You're pretty good, but your starting line is different. And everybody that got it
it's like white
after
privilege.
You without it is technically better than you.
It doesn't mean that you didn't struggle and you didn't have problems. Just means
your
can't compare problems yourselves.
You can't compare. Yes. Your problems are different.
Mm-hmm. So when Jamie Lee Curtis found out that Lindsay Lohan was going to be in this movie, it was like, oh, the girl from The Parent Trap. Jamie Lee asked, which twin did she play?
No!
Oh, wow.
No, she didn't.
She did.
That's cool. Fucking funny.
Look at that.
Awesome.
Look at that.
What a derp.
I mean, maybe fucking Lindsay Lohan is just a genius in playing two different people.
I'm telling you.
Yeah, maybe.
Oh my God, you're right.
Yeah.
All the best movies, she plays two people. Even Mean Girls.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. She switches. She's a good mean liar. Girl.
Yeah. So that's what you meant.
In the Christmas movie. Two people.
Yeah, because she has amnesia.
Oh my God.
Yeah, maybe she's just a different. Yeah, she's a fucking genius at the switch.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Lindsay Lohan only goes stars in movies where she gets to play two people. She's like the Eddie Murphy of redheads.
But like pared down to just two. Yeah.
So this was directed by Mark Waters, who teamed up with Lindsay Lohan again a year later to make Mean Girls.
Nice.
Ah!
Little reunion.
Nice.
So I just want to pour one out for poor Michelle Trachtenberg. Mm. Michelle Trachtenberg was on Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and due to contractual obligations, she had to drop out and could not star as Anna.
I don't think it would have been the same.
What could have been a star-making turn, but not only that, Michelle Trachtenberg originally was supposed to be Lindsay Lohan's character in A Parent Trap.
Oh, damn.
And let's see, she lost out to Lindsay Lohan in that. But that is like sliding doors, what could have been with her life. Twice she looks at Lindsay Lohan and goes, I could have been.
Yeah, but do you know her. What? I'm sure now she's grateful for
she's
what
probably
she's
better
done.
Off.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
They originally had written Lilo as goth, and Lindsay was like, I can't do that. It ain't gonna work. So she came to the audition as preppy. She did traditional, stylishly sophisticated Abercrombie and Fitch. And then they ended up rewriting her character punk. To be more punk.
Punk, which is cool. Punk princess, which checks out.
Goth would have been a little boring, I feel like, because it's just so mute in general.
And stereotypical, it's one note.
Yeah.
And then this just says the song Take Me Away slaps so fucking hard. Why is it not on Spotify? Oh my God.
That's fun. What a fun fact.
Did y'all know that Lindsay Lohan was in a documentary in 2010 called Lindsay Lohan's Indian Journey?
Shut the fuck up.
You gotta watch it.
And it's a British documentary film.
We gotta watch it.
Guilty Pleasures Indian Journey.
Presented and narrated by American actress Lindsay Lohan. Interesting.
Lohan.
Oh, also, this one's fun. So do you remember the scene where the delivery guy comes in and she goes, Evan? And he goes, no.
Uh-huh.
Boris.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That guy, the actor, played the love interest in the 1976 version.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
that makes sense. Isn't that cute? Love that.
Easter egg.
That's adorable.
Gotta love
now
that.
Now it's time for us to decide, is this film a pleasure? Woo! A guilty pleasure. Or say it with me, people.
Just plain guilty.
Oh, that's fun. Why don't we do that every week? You said it wrong.
I said it wrong.
Let's do it every week like that.
Kelsey?
Are you kidding? No, it's a full P. Full P sign. No guilt except for, you know, the racist stuff.
Except for the gong and the child trying to fuck the adult and the child trying to fuck the child. And
it's a full fee, send it. Absolutely.
I remember getting out of the theater and the lobby buzzing of like, whoa, that was good.
Yeah.
Fun
and
time.
It's just one of those things where like a movie rises above its station.
Yeah.
This was it. It united the parents and the kids and
the traps.
That's why I was just
in my back of my bed.
And like it holds up. It's such a delight.
Yeah,
Jamie Lee Coote, she killed it.
Yeah,
it's a fun. It's a pleasure.
Yeah, no, that's a full pleasure for me. There's no, I think
full
that
bees.
Full bees, man. That was just a quintessential 2000s, early 2000s movie. It's so nostalgic.
Hour and a half.
Right, you're in, time. You're out. It does all of the things that you need to. There's not like a lot in the ways of surprise. I feel like because of the fact that we're in this culture that has used Freaky Friday as a verb.
Yeah.
So you're not going to be like shocked by the plot. You know the plot.
Yeah.
But even still, you're going to have a fantastic time.
Yes.
What else are you enjoying in media? What are your pleasures?
My pleasures. I saw Adele Lim's Joyride this weekend.
Yeah. Oh, how was that?
It was so fucking good.
Hell yeah.
I think I can't. I don't know if I recommended the new Jennifer Lawrence movie, the one where she plays the girl who's dating the 18-year-old.
No hard feelings.
No hard feelings. And I think I said, like, that brought back, like, the early 2000s raunchy con. This did. Shits on it. It is so fucking funny. I'm going to see it again. It was so good.
Yeah, I need to go watch
and,
it.
And, yeah, it's female-led, directed, written by an incredibly funny cast with new faces that I didn't know and see. Our girl from Everything Everywhere All at Once is in it. Go see it with your girl pals. Go have a good time. Be prepared to fucking laugh your tits off.
I'm gonna go fucking watch that shit.
Yeah.
My pleasure this week. It's been out. I mean, by the time this episode comes out, it'll be out of the zeitgeist for a little bit, maybe. But The Bear season 2, man.
Hell
that
yeah.
Shit is just. Yes. It's. I didn't love the first season as much as everybody else did. I like went back through it and I was like, oh no, this is actually like really, really good. And it's like just a sturdy thing about food, which I also can't like vibe with how seriously it's taken. So I was like, ah, okay, cool.
Yeah.
And then in the second season, you just get so deep into the characters and why they love food so much, why they're taking all this stuff so seriously. And then it justified that entire first season.
Ooh, okay.
And so rarely does anything ever do this, but its second season completely justifies the first.
Wow.
Oh yeah. No, I've heard it's great. I can't wait to watch.
It's so fucking good.
I've given this recommendation before, but a podcast I adore just came back. It's called Script Apart. They look at the first drafts of screenplays, and they will bring the screenwriters on to talk about the journey of bringing it from script to screen.
Right.
That's fun. It's, what's it called?
Script Apart.
Script Apart.
Yeah,
instead
it's
of Ripped Apart.
Really great show. They just had on, they just did an episode about Jurassic Park with David Koepp for its 30th anniversary. They have, I'm blanking on his name, but the really awesome writer behind Dr. Sleep. And it's a hugely long conversation.
Mike Flanagan.
Mike Flanagan, yeah, thank you.
Michael Flanagan.
It's just a great show. Yeah. And it's great. Even if you haven't seen the movie, but obviously you scroll through and find the movies you love. It's just great.
What are we rated on iTunes?
Better be 5. Yeah, give us a rating. I'm at Corny and all things.
I'm Kelsey Darrow on all the things.
I'm Gary Bernard on all the things.
And until next time.
What do you... Oh, hell yeah.